The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn in sacred scripture this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we will read the first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Thus far we read the inspired word of God this morning. The text for the sermon is verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing abstract about peace. Everyone has a sense of what peace is, even from a strictly earthly point of view. Even if a man cannot define with words what peace is, he knows experientially something about peace. There's nothing abstract about peace, and that's largely due to the fact that there's nothing abstract about its opposite, which is warfare. War is miserable. It is miserable to the experience. Peace is wonderful and delightful to the experience. The little boy who cowers in his bed at night, listening to the distant roar of heavy artillery in his war-torn homeland, longs for peace. And the little boy who silently weeps under his blankets in bed at night because he can hear yet again through the walls quarreling, he longs for peace. And the young woman who's part of a larger extended family that's torn apart by sin and strife, she sits down to write wedding invitations for her big day and she longs for peace. For peace. There's nothing abstract about peace. Peace is so real and it's precious, and it's often not the presence of peace, but the absence of peace that impresses upon us the preciousness of peace. If that's true, then, even from an earthly point of view, that peace is so precious, then how must the heart of the believing child of God expand beyond measure to hear the word of the gospel in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. the little boy who lies in bed and he hears the distant roar of heavy artillery or quarreling coming from the room next door, he'll eventually fall asleep. But that man who lies in bed hearing the near roar of his guilty conscience and God's testimony against him for his sin, he won't fall asleep. He will toss and turn all night long because he does not have peace with God. Peace is so precious. And now this morning, we're talking about peace with God. What tongue can tell the preciousness of peace with God? If there was a believer there in Rome who was listening to the inspired epistle being read, and personally, for himself yet, he wasn't able to grasp the importance and the significance of the doctrine of justification by faith alone as it was being hammered home by the Apostle Paul. Now it begins to become so clear to him personally why this doctrine matters and why it matters so much for people, for men and women and boys and girls, because this truth is like a living tree of fruit. It produces fruit, and chief of all the fruit is peace with God. That's why justification by faith alone is so critically important for the well-being of the believing child of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Holy Gospel declares it. The sacrament signifies and seals it this morning. We have peace with God. Let's consider that beautiful truth this morning in the well-known words of Romans 5, verse 1. Under the theme, our peace with God, let's notice first of all the marvelous reality. In the second place, the only basis. And finally, the certain enjoyment. The marvelous reality revealed to us in the Holy Gospel this morning in Romans 5, verse 1 is that we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace is the ending of conflict and the establishing of communion. Peace is, first of all, the ending of conflict, peace in the home, peace in the church, peace in the state. Peace with God is always, first of all, the ending of conflict. There's nothing worse than having conflict with God. No matter how great one's griefs and sorrows and hardships and afflictions in life might be, there's nothing worse for any human being than to have conflict with God. Miserable above all men is that man who has conflict with God. And we create conflict with God by our sins. God is the absolutely holy God who is consecrated to himself as the supremely majestic one. And when we sin against him, we sin against that most high majesty, and God cannot respond but by being displeased. And by pronouncing guilt, and by working expressions of his displeasure in the experience of a troubled conscience, conflict with God, our sin creates conflict, and there's nothing worse. This past week, the first, second, and third graders in catechism had the story of Jonah. And we saw Jonah get into that boat, and off he went into the seas, and we saw the conflict. The conflict of the seas as the billowing waves pounded against the boat and the fierce winds were blowing through the boat. And that was only a picture. That conflict in the sea was only a picture of the growing conflict in the conscience and in the heart of Jonah. Because God said, go to that great city Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah said, no. When we sin, we say to God, no, God says, this is my will for you. And whether we're a little boy or a little girl or an aged saint, when we sin, we say to God, no. And our sin creates conflict with God. He is displeased. He pronounces guilt. There may be the experience of a troubled conscience. God's hand is heavy upon me and my soul finds no relief. Conflict with God. Peace is the ending of it. God takes away the guilt. God is no longer displeased. God removes the troubling within us. Peace is the ending of conflict. And then the soul is like the sea after Jonah was tossed overboard into the water, into the raging seas. And immediately, and the sailors on the boat, they looked around and the sea was calm everywhere they looked. The wind was no longer blowing. There was quietness. Peace with God is, first of all, the ending of conflict. Quietness in the soul. But that's not all. Peace is, first of all, the ending of conflict, but peace is always, in the second place, the establishing of communion. Even the ungodly know that. In society at large, peace is never merely the ending of conflict. A man may say, I have peace with my neighbor. We used to holler at each other over the fence. We used to throw things at each other and sabotage one another. We don't do that anymore. We have peace. And another man comes along and says, that's not peace. The mere cessation of expressions of hostility, that's not peace. Peace is when you go through the gate and you go to the back patio of your neighbor and you sit down with him and perhaps enjoy a cold drink or munch on some mixed nuts and you talk and you laugh with one another. That's peace. Peace is not merely the ending of conflict, it's communion. And even little children know that. We have all these children in the congregation. Many homes represented here by all the little children. And a little child knows that peace is not merely the ending of bickering and quarreling and fighting. A wee little child knows that peace is communion. When there is among all the members in the home a delight in one another, communion, that's peace. And so it is with God. Peace with God is not only God's ending of the conflict, it's God's establishing of communion. God takes us, and with our heart and soul and strength and mind, God draws us unto Himself and creates harmony between us so that what we love in our hearts and what we desire in our souls and what we think in our minds is what God loves and what God desires and what God thinks and what we say is what God says. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And one says, yea, Lord, my delight is to do thy will. There's harmony between man and God, communion, and God draws us nearer and nearer to Himself. And we're not terrified by His glory and His holiness and His majesty. He's not displeased with me. He's pleased with me. I know that. This great God, majestic, holy God, He's my friend, gracious and merciful unto me. God draws us unto Himself. There's communion between us. That's peace. The ending of conflict, the establishing of communion. If all the gospel declared to us this morning and all the sacraments signified and sealed unto us this morning is that there's no conflict between us and God, we would say, bless the Lord. No conflict with God. But the gospel is far richer. It's positive. It declares unto us we have real communion with God. And we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. What a marvelous reality is our peace with God. If peace from an earthly point of view is so precious, even among men, then how marvelous is peace with God. There's nothing worse than conflict with God. There's nothing better. There's nothing more marvelous than peace with God. Hear the word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, pause, with God. There's the marvel. We have peace with God. The puny, finite creature has communion with the infinite creator God. The sinner has communion with the thrice holy God. With God. Would you believe it if you were told that Abel had peace with Cain? That the house of David had peace with the house of Saul? That the Pharisees and the Sadducees were of the same mind, enjoying communion. Could it be? God never established that peace. But there's something far more marvelous than anything like that. And it's the truth of Romans 5, verse 1. The marvelous reality is that we have peace with God. The holy judge who has the authority and the power to cast all of us into hell, we have peace with him. The ending of conflict, the establishing of communion, that's the marvelous reality of Romans 5 verse 1, peace with God. There is a basis for this marvelous reality. Of course there is, there must be. And the inspired apostle states it in the opening line of the text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now is not the time to give a lengthy, thorough explanation of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. The apostle has given his lengthy defense and explanation of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, apart from the deeds of the law. And now it's time for a conclusion. Therefore, he begins, therefore, being justified by faith, because you are justified by faith, we've established that, because you are justified by faith, there's peace with God. Justification, God's justifying of us is the basis for our peace with him. God's justifying of us is that mighty saving work of God whereby he declares that we sinners who have the sentence of guilt hanging over our heads are righteous. It's God's declaration of us. God looks at us with that sentence of guilt hanging over us, and God makes a declaration to us declaring that we are righteous. He is pleased with us. And that's not on the basis of anything we have done, are doing, will do, or are. That's not on the basis of the fact that we may have been circumcised or baptized, that we may presently be in a synagogue or a sanctuary worshiping, that we might have a firm resolution to love our neighbor with all of our heart, or that we are a Hebrew of the line of Abraham or a member of the Protestant Reformed Churches of America. God makes a declaration not on the basis of what we have done, are doing, will do, or are, but God makes a declaration on the basis of what Jesus did. God says, I declare you to be righteous because my Son came into your flesh and he rendered the perfect sacrifice on the cross for all of your sins and your sinfulness. And he rendered unto me from a perfect heart of love perfect obedience to my law. Therefore, on the basis of what he has done, I declare you righteous. Justification by faith. That's ours by faith. By the gift of faith, we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the instrument of that faith, to use the language of the Heidelberg Catechism, we receive, we apply unto ourselves the satisfaction, the righteousness, the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith It's ours. The gospel proclaims it. Believer, you are justified in Jesus Christ. The sacrament signifies and seals it. Believer, you are justified in Christ. And the believer believes it by the faith God works in him. Justified in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's justifying of us in Christ is the basis for our peace. How can God end the conflict when there's guilt? How can God establish the communion without righteousness? God dealt with our guilt, and God accomplished righteousness for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his justification of us, our guilt is imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can better understand why the apostle and why all of the faithful teachers of old, especially 500 years ago, at the time of the Reformation, so vigorously defended the truth of justification by faith alone. Now it becomes clearer. Therein is the basis for nothing less than our peace with God. The righteousness we have in Christ is not a basis for the peace we have. It is the basis and the only basis. Peace is at stake in the issue of justification. Peace, nothing less than peace with God, is at stake, than which there is nothing greater for man. The inspired apostle is not only a zealous theologian determined to preach justification by faith alone without the deeds of the law for the glory of God, but he's also a compassionate pastor who's determined to preach the truth of justification by faith alone without the deeds of the law for the glory of God and for the comfort of the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and his own. There are consequences to the lie of justification by faith and one of the great consequences is that with this lie, the sinner can have no peace with God. That marvelous reality. When your conscience is troubling you in the night, try to find peace through your works. It won't happen. Try to open up the Bible once and memorize a verse. When you're troubled by your sin, try to memorize a verse as something good that you can do to God on account of which he's going to make a declaration to you. Not of works, not of any work, not of the best works that a man may do. There is no peace for the one who used to blaspheme God and persecute Christians. There is no peace for that monk, that really good monk who tried to do really good works 500 years ago. There is no peace for you or for me or for any man if the basis for our peace with God is something we do or try to do. There's one basis for peace with God, and it's the righteousness that he has established in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is ours by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One basis for this marvelous reality. We find it in Christ. This peace is our peace with God. We have it. And we enjoy it. We very, really, experientially enjoy peace with God. Our conscience is soothed. Our hearts are comforted. We have the assurance that we are right with the living God. We enjoy peace. Some deny that we can fully enjoy this peace with God. Some say that Jesus Christ attained for us peace in an objective sense, And it's ours. But as to the real experiential enjoyment of this peace, that's not ours. Or maybe it may be for a few in the church of Jesus Christ. But for the majority of the believers in the church, there must be prolonged periods of doubt and worry and questioning whether or not one really is with God. In heaven, we will all have peace objectively and subjectively as to our experience. Once we are justified before the tribunal of God in the day of judgment, alas, we will have peace with God. But for now, many doubts. The word of God could not be clearer. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. It's ours. There are not two kinds of peace, one peace for now and another peace for later. There's one peace and we have it now. The text does not say, therefore, being justified by faith, we shall, though there's beauty in that, we shall have peace with God. Beautiful promise, but the text doesn't say that. The text says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, right now, we have peace with God. And when the scripture takes the verb have and the object peace and puts them together, the scripture is referring to a real subjective peace that's experienced really right now. For example, Acts 9 verse 31 uses the same verb have and the object peace. Then had, there's the verb, then had the churches rest. That's the same word peace in the text. Then had the churches rest or peace throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. After the conversion of the persecutor Saul of Tarsus, the churches had peace. And that doesn't merely mean there was some document somewhere that said, Saul is no longer a persecutor, you may have peace. An objective peace. The churches actually enjoyed peace. No one was being taken off to jail anymore. They quietly went about their business, enjoying peace. Scripture uses the same verb, the same object here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God right now. We really do. Believer, it is yours. The world does not have it. The unbeliever does not have it. The impenitent sinner does not have it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we penitent believers, we have peace with God. Enjoy it. Believer, it's yours. Though there be war all around you and opposition, hostility, slander, though there be all kinds of trouble and affliction and hardship all around you, the believing child of God is able to continue through all things, even joyfully, because right here, right in here, he has peace with God. That's ours to enjoy. We do enjoy it. We certainly enjoy it. And the certainty of our enjoyment of this peace is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, now the text does not say through our Lord Jesus Christ, though that's true. The phrase through our Lord Jesus Christ is not modifying primarily God's justifying of us. Therefore, being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what the text says. The text says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That last phrase, through our Lord Jesus Christ, is especially modifying that phrase, having peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ sees to it that he not only accomplishes objectively peace for us, but he sees to it that we really do experience peace with God. And then what could be more certain? Because according to the text, he is the Lord, through whom? Through the Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, who bought us body and soul with his blood. Our souls are his. He will see to it that there's peace in that soul. He's the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus. He saves from sin. He not only saves from sin and the guilt of sin, He saves unto peace with God. Because He's Jesus, He will see to it that there's peace in our hearts. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the anointed prophet, priest, and God who anoints us with the Holy Spirit that we may be sealed with that Spirit in our hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ will see to it that we really do have and experience and enjoy peace with God. And then He does this. Blessed Savior, He institutes the sacrament of Holy Communion because He is so determined to make sure we have and enjoy peace with God. Believer, do not live in terror. Penitent believer, do not live in terror before God. Do not imagine that God has something against you. The Scripture cannot be broken. No matter what anyone says, believer, believe the unbreakable Scriptures. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Marvelous reality, only basis, certain enjoyment. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have heard it in Thy word, and now we pray that Thou wilt continue to give to us peace, precious, precious peace. And now bless the sacrament unto our hearts so that through it we have greater and greater assurance of Thy love for us. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.